This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I think the head coach of the Cardinals will be proud of the destruction we just did on a Dewey sugar cake this morning. Look, yeah, Scott Satterfield, you know the value of Dewey sugar cake, right? You know those. You probably had one or two of those in your life, hadn't you?
Yeah, they're not bad. Pretty good, especially in the morning with some coffee.
Coffee. Hey, you know what? This is where the Commonwealth of Kentucky and the great state of North Carolina should come together, because a little Moravian sugar cake and some brown water.
Oh my God, really?
Is like perfect. I mean, perfect. Right? Forget that.
Absolutely.
That coffee gets in the way, man. Who wants to drink that nonsense when you can have the real deal?
All right. Hold on.
I don't know. It's a little too early for some of that.
That's it. Thanks, Coach. Hey, Appreciate that.
But if you've been up since 11 p.m., it kind of feels like lunchtime.
Well, that's true.
You just said it to us during the break. It's a good win last Saturday against Boston College. It's nice off a bye week, I'm sure, to see some of that extra detail digging pay off for you. But one only gets to another one, right? I mean, the win this past Saturday only makes the stakes a little higher Saturday night in Raleigh, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, we coming off of two tough losses for us. You know, we played Battle of Wake Forest right down to a, I think there was 22 seconds or 18 seconds left on a field goal, and Virginia was the same thing on a last second field goal that we didn't make. And then we had that bye week. So the bye week was good for us. We got to heal up a little bit. And you got to play a really good Boston College team coming in at 4-2. And, you know, we're excited about that game. And our guys went out and prepared very, very well for that game. And then that was a big win for us. And now it just sets up a big-time game, you know, playing NC State down in Raleigh this weekend. So we're excited about that as well.
Coach, everybody always talks about the quarterbacks in this league, and you've got one. But before we get to Malik Cunningham, I want you to brag about this offensive line, because I think that's where it starts. I mean, you got your guys – the last couple of weeks in particular have really, really done a nice job up front.
Yeah, they've done an unbelievable job. We've got a veteran group up here. We finally got healthy too. I think that bye week really helped the guys up front. We had a couple of guys that missed a game or two prior to this last game, and when they came back, I think BC was giving up 126 rushing per game, and they put it upon themselves. Listen, let's be able to run this football. And, you know, we rushed for 331. They've been protecting Cunningham big time as well. You know, he's had a lot of clean pockets this year. You know, the last couple of years, we've been awful at tackles for loss and sacks given up. And I think this year we're top 15 in the country in both of those categories. And all that does is keep you on the routine of sticks and not having those long yardage situations. And so, a lot of kudos to our boys up front. We're playing about seven guys on a big-time rotation right there, and they're playing really well. Particularly this week, Caleb Chandler was the ACC lineman of the week, and he had an outstanding game.
Coach, your ability to run and your ability to stop their run seemed to be the kind of the real yin and the yang in the win.
Yeah, that was big. You know, coming in, we know Boston College as a team, historically over the years, have had some outstanding running backs, and really it starts up front for them. You know, a lot of respect for what they can do up front and their offensive line. And, you know, and our defense had given up some points and some yards the prior 2 weeks, and they'd been hearing a lot of things negatively, and, man, they responded. What a game for them to be able to stop that run, you know, really try to force them to throw the football, and, you know, and that was obviously in our favor. So, yeah, Coach Brown and our defensive staff and our players, man, what an outstanding game. You know, we turned the ball over, which we haven't been doing this year, but they responded and got three turnovers themselves on our defensive side. So that really really kept us in the game and enabled us to win it by there in the fourth quarter.
All right. Hadn't had that many turnovers in a ball game, I think, in about 4 years, and you produced a win, obviously, in doing it. How do you coach that? Because you weren't making the turnovers in, you know, lack of detail. It was more like you were trying to make plays and turning the ball over, right?
Yeah, no question. The two interceptions that Malik had, a great play by their corner, number 10. You know, we tried to force a ball to Marshawn, and number 9 made a great play. But the two really disappointing ones were the two fumbles. But by there in the second half, you know, it started raining in there. They still got to hold on to the football. But BC did a good job of stripping the ball and getting the ball out. But, you know, it's something that we've harped on in the offseason about taking care of the football and really have done a really good job of that. Hopefully that was just one of those one games that – the one-offs that you can't have, and we still survived it. And I think that due to the fact of the way our defense have played and forcing those three turnovers.
Coach, the quarterback play in this league has just been awesome. I mean, it's the only way to describe it. But I can make the case, I think, that Malik Cunningham is the most underrated quarterback in the country. And again, you see him every day in practice. You see him on game days. He can beat you with his legs. He can beat you with his arms. You talked about his patience, how good the line's been playing. Big picture, what's been the difference with Malik Cunningham this year?
Well, I think, first of all, I agree with you. He is underrated. And, you know, he's such a playmaker. Talk to any coach we're getting ready to play, and they'll talk him up, I guarantee you that. I mean, he's just so deadly with his legs. But he can throw the football. And, you know, like we talked about, our offensive line giving him a clean pocket. He can make all the throws. He's got a very accurate arm. He can throw the deep ball, the intermediate pass, and obviously the quick game. And then where he's dangerous is when he gets outside of the pocket, you know, with our naked game off our run game and our play action game. And the thing that makes him so much better this year, I think, just is his poise and his command of the offense. When he comes off the field, you know, it's just like we're having a conversation. He's not, you know, all over the place with it. He knows what he sees out there. And when you're like that and you're calm and cool and, you know, you just let the game come to you. And he's been able to do that this year. And that's why we've been in every game this whole season, I think, just the way he's been playing. And I think he's going to continue to get better and better. You know, it was a big talk about, hey, we lost a lot of players off last year's team that had a lot of production. And this year, you know, we've done it by committee, a lot of different receivers, you know, several different backs. The one mainstay has been Cunningham, and he's been a great player for us in this offense.
So here's the thing around him, the cast around him. And you mentioned the wide receivers that are gone. It looks like Jordan Watkins has developed. We knew Marshawn Ford was pretty good. You've got guys evolving, certainly, on the perimeter from a receiving standpoint. I think the one thing that caught my eye Saturday after the ball game is you got some depth and character at running back, too, now. And it looked like Cooley came in. I know it was a season-high rushing for him. But he gave you a bit of a lift when it looked like, you know, Mitchell was doing some nice things. Cooley kind of changed the game running it for you.
Yeah, no question. You know, Cooley's been a guy that we think, you know, has a ton of potential. He's made some plays along the way, you know, throughout this season. And, you know, it's kind of been by committee, though. But, yeah, he gave us a hot hand. If you go back to the Virginia game, Hassan Hall had over 150 yards rushing. So, you know, it's been several of those guys that have been able to do it. We got more. Berkeley's another guy that started a couple games for us last year that's sitting right there in the wings. I mean, that's probably one of the deepest positions that we have is the running back room. You know, and the sad thing is we play one running back at a time and we only have one football. So Coach Sims, the running back coach, has his work cut out for him trying to manage those guys. But to their credit, they're all unselfish guys. You know, they're kind of when it's their turn, they try to go in there and make plays for themselves. And but, yeah, we're blessed to have all those running backs in the stable there. And, you know, again, Cooley's a guy that can make plays. He's going back home this weekend. Yeah. He's from right around the Raleigh area. So he's excited about it.
Yeah, people in Knightdale will be excited. All right, now see, this is all – hearing throwing all these names out at you, team of mystery, right?
They are the team – you're still the team of mystery. I mean, Coach, when I watch your – I watch the Virginia game, I'm like, man, who are these guys? I mean, they're running Virginia out of the building. Life is great. I'm like, man, that's why they're the team of mystery. I flip it over to another game. I come back, I'm like, who are these guys? They're the team of mystery.
Yeah.
That was a crazy game.
Well,
oh, my God.
I think the one thing we've proved this year that we have a good football team. You know, we've been in just every single game. We're right there. We're very, very competitive. You know, just for a couple of plays, you're sitting here at 6-1. I mean, I think so hopefully the team of mystery by the end of the season will be a team that everybody says is a pretty daggone good football team.
Well,
and, so that's what we want.
Let me just give you, this is the official scoreboard when Wes and I do our accounting. And if, I know you probably can't look in there real tight, but you know what? We both got you right there in the 5 spot in the league.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's good, you know, but here in about 5 weeks, we want to be up there toward the top.
Let me tell you.
All that's going to play itself out.
That's exactly right. And it starts this weekend because you're going to go play somebody that right now that we both currently have in front of Louisville. And you know you get a chance to take it on the road. And I do think – when you knocked off Florida State away from home, because I know that's one of the things that had to be on your list before the season is, hey, everybody's good at home. But to get to that next level, we got to start winning some games away from Louisville. And you did that at Florida State. Now you're walking into what's going to be a Pitt because NC State's coming off a tough loss. They've lost some great personnel this week. You know it's a great challenge, but these are the kind of games that you got to win, though, right? I mean, the big picture,
yeah.
Hey, NC State, top 25 team, you know they are.
Yeah.
Dave's done a great job. They're experienced, and they're coming off a loss. So, you know, you're going to have your hands full, but these are the games we can't wait to watch. This is the fun part.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be a great football game. You know, Dave's done an outstanding job with that program at NC State. They have a lot of good players, you know, and they expect to win. You know, the one thing that stands out when you watch their film, man, they play hard. They play hard on every phase of the game, I think, as a complete team, whether it be special teams, offense, or defense. And I know they lost a couple of players this past weekend. You know, you get this time of season, you know, everybody's got some dings and some guys that miss games. And, you know, it's next man up mentality. So we know we're going to get their best shot. And, you know, they're coming off that loss that you mentioned down in Miami, a tough loss, lost by 1 point. And, you know, and again, going on the road in a hostile environment, it's Halloween weekend, I think it's homecoming down in Raleigh. So there's a lot of things going on. And, you know, we're playing a primetime spot on ACC Network. So we're excited about it. And, you know, for us, an opportunity and a chance to go out there and get another win in this conference where anybody can win on any Saturday. It doesn't matter. You better show up.
Well, that's the part I was getting ready to finish with here, at least from my perspective. You've seen a lot of college football. Dave Clawson told us in June it was going to be a different year just because of all the stuff from a roster management size to experience level to the portal to COVID, whatever you want to call it. What are you seeing from your perspective about how different this particular year could be? And are we looking ahead a little bit? I mean, I know you had a bye week where you watched some games from time to time. What do you see from a head coaching perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the parity in college football is as good as it's ever been. And I think for several reasons, I know you guys have talked about with Clawson, what he said earlier in the year, but, you know, these super seniors, you know, there's a lot of more experience, I think, on a lot of these teams that you have that. You know, you can have a great player that comes out who's an 18-year-old, but that doesn't make up for that experience that a 23-year-old player may have. And these teams that have been together for so long, we're also coming off a COVID year, which was completely different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what's going to expect. But, you know, each and every week we're seeing it. Teams, we talked about the top 25 every week. This, you know, a bunch of those teams are getting beat by unranked teams. You know, so it just comes back to preparation and the guys, what are they putting in for that week? And then the matchups that are going to happen on that particular game day. So I love it. As a football fan, you got to love it. You know, it's you always got a chance to win. And you better show up or you'll get beat. Just look in our league. I mean, the teams, I think about Syracuse has lost, what, 3 in a row by 3 points. I mean,
right,
they can beat anybody in this league. It's just it's great for college football, you know, and so it just proves that you have to show up each and every day if you want to go win.
On a personal standpoint, you mentioned it's a Halloween weekend. We always talk about your neighborhood up there at Louisville. We got people rolling houses. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff happening on your street.
Yeah, you got to be careful in your neighborhood, don't you? Sunday night, that'd be a little tough in your neighborhood, right?
We live,
whatever it is.
We live vicariously through that neighborhood you live up there in Louisville. So the Satterfield house, we ring the doorbell Sunday night. It's gotten dark. Trick or treat. How would you rate your household in giving out treats on Sunday night?
Well, I think, of course, that'll be my wife because I'll be in the office working, getting ready for whoever we play. Oh, we got Clemson the next week. So so we'll be in there working. But, we pass out some good stuff. I think my wife ends up getting the big candy bars.
Ooh.
So, like, the full-size candy bars. So if any kids come to the house, and we may have more adults that come by the house maybe than kids. But yeah, the big candy bars is what we're passing out.
Let's be honest, some of those neighbors you don't want to come by the house anymore, do you?
That is true. Yeah, some of those neighbors we keep turn the light off when we see them walking down the street.
I ran into one of your neighbors leaving the field before the game the other day, and I said, I'm surprised you are allowed to get this close to the football field given what you've done to the football coach. He looked at me and said, don't you worry about it.
I know.
Was that a young basketball coach there?
That was a young, tall, skinny basketball coach from Cincinnati.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, if I lived up there in the Commonwealth, you know what I'd be giving out for Halloween?
Oh, no.
I know exactly what you'll be giving out.
What's that? What do you think?
Well, no, to the adults, I know what you'd be giving out.
I'd give out homemade bourbon balls.
Okay. I knew it had to do something with bourbon.
Yeah, see?
Yes, it's part of the deal. If I lived in the Commonwealth, man, I mean, you know, If you guys ever invite us up for that spring game,
oh,
we told
geez,
you about.
Here we go. Now move that spring
game. Move that spring game back about 2 weeks. You tie it in the week before the Derby. Yeah. We come up broadcast live
the whole week. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, yeah, Durham. Come on, get with the program. Come on, we
give it a heck of a week.
We've pitched this. We've pitched this to Satterfield three different times.
Yeah,
you're just kind of emphasizing it in case the ESPN executives actually watch the show.
Tell them,
Sat, that's a great idea.
Sat, you've been for this the whole time. You've never swayed off of do it. Vince has been do it. Yeah. So we're good. We're good with the University of Louisville. I confirmed that last week across the board.
That's just, that's 100% correct.
I'll bring the bourbon balls.
Great. Hey, good luck Saturday. Thanks as always.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Take care. Right.
Thanks,
you
Coach.
Bet. Scott Satterfield, head coach at Louisville. Oh, unbelievable.
You ever try those bourbon balls?
Oh, yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, my mom used to make them.
Is that right?
Used to years
ago. Miss Jean?
Used to make them years ago.
Miss Jean.
No, Miss Jean.
Hear me out.
No. You've had plenty today.
What are you talking about? I'm just starting. Miss Jean is my favorite. All right? Her thank you notes right up there on the board.
Yeah, there we go.
That's the one right there.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Right there.
Yeah, Miss Jean.
Miss Jean's thank you note.
Yeah.
Miss Jean, I was not aware.
Back in the day.
That the bourbon ball was in the repertoire.
No, way
for
back in the day.
Servassier.
A few years ago, the bourbon ball was in the repertoire.
Wow, those things are so good.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
A lot of pressure on NC State. No, there is a lot of pressure on NC State because you got to stay within arm's length now of Wake Forest, now that you've lost. So this feels like a must win for NC State.
It does.
And, you know, Satterfield and boys, they've got a great balance right now, running and throwing the ball. Offensive line's doing the job. State's banged up a little bit on the defensive side. Pressure on Dave Dorn and the Pack to hold serve at home. Good game. Big game.
Be interesting to see how Louisville processes their defensive confidence from last week for Saturday.
Yep.
Whole set of issues with NC State when it comes to what they do offensively.
Yep.
All right, conference cuts. Let's start at Tiger Town. Clemson hosts Florida State on Saturday afternoon, 3:30 on ESPN. Dabo Swinney says when injuries happen, it's not just the players. The coaching staff has to step up too.
I think we've got to do that as a staff. I mean, I think it's very important. You know, player leadership is always an aspect of every great team. You know, but when you get in a situation like this and you got a lot of players looking for leadership, looking for direction, because there's just a lot of inexperience and a lot of guys that haven't really kind of been in a situation like this. So it's an opportunity for us to lead and they've got to make the choice to follow and to listen and, you know, to block out all the noise. And again, that's why this will be valuable for us as we continue our journey to many, many more, you know, great moments along the way. This will be valuable for a lot of these young kids.
I agree with that. You know, they've been living so high on the hog in terms of success, college football playoffs, ACC domination, et cetera, et cetera. You get a year like this one where the injuries and losses, tough times, things aren't bouncing the right way. You know what? It grounds you pretty quick to say, hey, guess what? Appreciate the good times when you have them because it's not a guaranteed lock. It's hard to win games. It doesn't matter who you are.
Well, and the injuries now include some COVID protocols. Kobe Pace falls into that for Saturday.
Starting running back.
So Phil Moffitt's show, apparently. Will Shipley.
Shipley and Moffitt, two freshmen. They're going to have to carry the load in the meantime. And it just doesn't get any easier. You're taking on a red-hot Florida State team, and we talked about in hour number one. And like I said, there was a little friction between these two last year, given the fact they did not play a game.
Right.
And now all of a sudden we're going to play this thing in the Valley, 3:30 on Saturday.
Off to Atlanta, 12:30 or 12 noon on Saturday afternoon. Virginia Tech comes calling to Grant Field and Bobby Dodd Stadium. Jeff Collins, after a tough loss at Virginia, and now the Hokies looming on the horizon, says, hey, wait a second. Every play in this conference now matters.
The biggest thing we talk about is just creating margin in the program. The margin that we had to overcome, you know, when we first got here, learning all the things that we had to learn. There was a big margin. Now that margin is really, really small. And you talked about it. We talked about it today before practice. I even talked about it even more at length at the end of practice. Just the attention to detail, how one play can affect everything.
Says what's
and
next.
The point that I made today to the team was that PAT block early in the game, how vital that one play was toward the end of the game and how we played the game at the end. And imagine if we had had the attention to detail and understood how huge of a play that was. It's not just a throwaway play. There's zero throwaway plays in this game. When you're playing in this league, you're playing against a quality opponent. We've become a really good competitive team, but that margin is so small, and you leave one play to chance here, one attention to detail there. That is the margin from our record being what it could be to what it is, and how do we find that way to create that margin in this program every single day and every phase of what we do.
There we go. All right. Jackets and Hokies on Saturday.
Did he have beat LA again?
No. No.
On masking tape on his shirt?
I think it said, what's next?
Oh, for a second there, I thought I was trying to steal the hat idea.
It wasn't, yeah.
You know what I'd like to see in this game? It's not going to happen, but this is just me talking.
Okay.
Just hear me out.
What do you want?
I would like to see Jude Kelly.
Onside kick again?
Start the game with an onside kick.
Would you?
He is 5 for 5 in his career.
Oh, I'm well
aware. 3 for 3 this year. It was on the best of the weekend list.
Malachi Carter recovers most of them.
Georgia Tech is the greatest onside kick team I've ever seen.
Sounds like all of a sudden a Vince Dooley pregame press conference.
It is
Georgia Tech has the finest onside kicking team I've ever seen, Larry.
They've been phenomenal. If you watch the end of the Virginia game Saturday, they pulled it off at Clemson, gave themselves a chance to win the game. It's spectacular. The dude's 5 for 5. Just saying. I mean, I know I said it's not going to happen, but what I would like to see,
yeah
we're ready. Oh, our ball. Let's go. First down.
Yeah.
Jackets.
All right, let's
by
go.
By the way, you don't think Virginia Tech's glad to be out of Lane Stadium this week? Seriously. I mean, after the last 3 weeks, in some respects, Justin Fuente is going to be like, you know, we love the fans. They're our boys. But, man, we should just leave town.
A lot of Hokies in Atlanta, by the way. A lot of Hokies.
Hokies travel.
Hokies do travel, but they're a lot in Atlanta.
They love their football.
A lot of Georgia license plates with a VT on it. Dino Babers is next. After 4 straight games decided on the final possession, he talked about the importance of moving on to the next one.
Here's the thing about playing football. You've got 12 games. If you do really good, it's 13. You don't have a lot of time to mope or feel bad about something. You really got to try to flush things and get going to the next week. If not, the season's over. We're 2/3 done. You know, we're sitting at 4-4. We're 2/3 done. We got 5 weeks left because we got a bye. And then it's gone. And what you do is going to matter whether you get an opportunity to do 13. I think it's a little bit, they have to rebound. They have to come back. And I think it's a lot easier, obviously, when you win than it is when you lose. But I thought they've been doing a fantastic job even in the losses.
You know, Wes, a W for the Orange this week puts them over 500 for the year. And this is a team that had back-to-back-to-back 3-point losses and could have won every one of those games. Mm-hmm. Ended up going 0-3 in those games. But a win against BC, who desperately needs a win on a 3-game losing streak.
Yep.
Cuse wins this week. They're 5-4 in the year.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Power Hour started with Scott Satterfield up there in the Commonwealth.
That's right.
Bourbon balls for everybody. And now, the man that makes Halloween, Halloween.
That's it.
The Blue Ostrich joins us, Tom Luganville. There he is, front and center.
After a much...
Did you say bourbon?
Yes, I said that Scott Satterfield was on. I asked him, what's the family give out? And he said that's in my wife's in charge. She gives out the big candy bars. I said, well, if I lived up there, I'd be handing out bourbon balls. right? You got to. Winning the Commonwealth. Hey, kids, have one of these.
Hey, Luke's, why don't you get what Tommy Armstrong made for you? Why don't you show Luke's what Tommy Armstrong made for you? Hey, Luke's, look what happened this week.
We got to do the whole ensemble.
Look at the Lego guy, Tommy Armstrong, right?
Right. Now you know
you know about the accounting scoreboard. You know that, right?
This is since there's no budget at ESPN for the show, we've had listeners create the accounting scoreboard.
Right.
All right. Now see this. Now this is all Lego bricks.
These are all Lego bricks.
So you know the host.
Wait,
right?
The photos are made up of Lego bricks?
Yes. Everything.
Yeah.
But wait.
Somebody's got some time on their hands.
No, Tommy Armstrong is a professional.
Talent. Got a talent on his hands.
Right. Yeah, he's got talent.
But here's
did he add a couple of blocks for your side because you always have a couple of additions to your accounting?
No. But here's what he did, taking it to the next level. He just sent me, because we're going to do this for basketball, and we didn't have Notre Dame, so I put the Notre Dame ones back here, in the back. Here's Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We'll bring those guys out for hoop season. So here's what football looks like. But you're going to love
look
this.
Look what he did this week. Look.
You have to get uptight. This is a Lego.
Look, it's a Lego.
Okay.
But you got to get real tight with this.
I can see it from here. That looks like a sparkly gold jacket.
It is. It's the Tom Luganville, Western, Mark Packer, Del Frisco night.
Yeah.
Where I stole the Lake Forest sequin jacket and made a little version of it.
Look,
for the for the scoreboard.
How good is that?
Is that a bourbon ball in that glass?
That's exactly what it is.
At least one.
How good is that? How good is that, Luke? Huh?
Dude, that's awesome. The fact that the photo's an individual Lego brick, come on. Get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
That's too good.
I know. But, you know.
Only the best
that's
for
awesome.
Us. That's it. We got no budget.
You guys have toys.
We create. You know, we got the best viewers and listeners. You know, ESPN's not going to spend any money on us. The fans will.
There you go.
That's how we whirl. That's it.
All right. I want to start down the football road here. You've been a part of successful teams in a lot of different ways.
And bad ones.
Yeah, you've been a part of some bad ones. I was going to let that go. What kind of, in their world, what kind of hurdle did Pitt clear last Saturday?
I think from a confidence perspective and just a, you know, monkey off the back and just finally get past it. And, you know, this is a team that's been playing really, really good football. You know, I don't know if there's been a quarterback in college football over the last, I don't know, 20 years that's made a better draft-eligible decision than Kenny Pickett has made. But you know what? I don't think it's so much about getting over Clemson. I think it's more about what do you do now? Mm. Now you don't rest. You don't say, oh, we did that one. We checked that off, and now everything's good to go, and we're just going to skate the rest of the way. To me, the hurdle for Pitt is what do you do now? How do you handle removing that off of the slate and then going forward and capitalizing on it, going and taking it to the next opponent? Because that, to me, will truly show where the maturity is and how focused this football team is. It can't be drunk off of beating Clemson and allow it to impact them negatively the following week and the week after that. So maybe the answer to that question remains to be seen.
All right, we're 97 minutes in, so you can mention Virginia now.
Actually, I'm not going there.
I know, but anyway, I just wanted you to know.
But you can
what's
bring it up
with
if
Virginia?
You're in the
no, it's a whole other issue. We were just laughing at somebody earlier this week who said it took us an hour and a half to mention Virginia in a show. So I said we're 97 minutes in. You can mention Virginia.
I want to go to Miami.
Well, the fans are running the show, so
they do. I want to go to Miami since that's who Pitt plays next. Tyler Van Dyke. You know, he talked a pretty good game last week before NC State. And Tom, let me tell you something. You know what? He delivered. I was really, really impressed with his game and Miami, who decided, guess what? We're here to fight. We're here to play. And that was a humongous win for Manny and that whole team. And, you know, they're going up to Pitt with nothing to lose. I mean, they still have an outside shot, but they have to beat Pittsburgh. This is an interesting game this weekend.
It's an interesting game, and on top of it, it's actually the best thing that could have happened to Pittsburgh. Because if NC State goes down there and takes care of business, now maybe Pittsburgh, coming off that win versus Clemson, doesn't take Miami as seriously as they are going to now. And you know what? Credit Tyler Van Dyke, who's, you know, talking the talk, and he walked the walk, but also credit Rhett Lashley. Because Rhett Lashley, the offensive coordinator at Miami, has made the necessary adjustments. That's not an offense that you sit there and say, okay, this is what we're going to be with Derek King, and this is exactly what we're going to be with Tyler Van Dyke. You have to make some tweaks. You've got to put yourself in a position where you say, all right, we're not going to be able to do this, this, and this with this particular guy. So what can we do to accentuate the strengths? I think he's made some really nice adjustments. You can see how emotional Manny Diaz was after that game. I don't blame him. It was nice to see Miami play up to their level of talent and execute offensively. That was a huge win, as you put it, Pac. But again, to me, it helps Pitt that Miami won that football game as far as the approach going into it.
All right, here's another aspect of this. We talk about Kenny Pickett on a national stage. Brennan Armstrong technically gets a national stage Saturday night in Provo against BYU. How important for the national story of Virginia is Saturday night against Kalani Sitake's team on ESPN2?
Well, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for people who haven't seen just how talented Brennan Armstrong is and to see that offense and the explosive plays that they're putting up to maybe provide some respect for the program and the job that Bronco Mendenhall has done. And listen, defensively, are they anywhere near where we've become accustomed to seeing a Bronco Mendenhall coach team be? No, they're not. But offensively, you better score at least 40 if you want to have a chance to be in the game with them in the fourth quarter. And right now, you know, having seen BYU earlier in the season, seeing them get upset by Boise State, that is a really, really tough place to play. It's going to be a really tough place to play at night. Bronco Mendenhall knows that. He will have his team prepared to play that game from a crowd perspective. But they're going to have to handle the crowd as much as they're going to have to handle that BYU football team. And BYU can run the football. And that's going to be if I'm BYU, if you're Virginia and you're wanting to garner some national accolades and get out there and be seen, you better stop the run or your offense isn't going to be on the field enough to score the points you scored the last few weeks.
Tom, Florida State, Clemson, Saturday in Death Valley. The Noles are playing with a ton of confidence. They're running the football. They're protecting their quarterback. They're not making stupid penalties. They're really playing fundamentally sound. Yeah. When Clemson breaks the huddle for the first time against that Noles D, who do you think the quarterback will be?
I think it'll be DJ, and then they'll figure it out as we go. The problem is everybody wants to clamor for the backup quarterback, but is your backup quarterback a better option? And how much is the offensive line and an inability to run the football have an impact on whoever is playing quarterback? And so to me, has DJ been disappointing? Yes. But it's not all been him. They've got other problems around him as well. The quarterback position gets magnified, of course. And, you know, they better be careful because to your point, you know, we talked so for, I feel like forever now, several years about it not necessarily being about the athlete or the lack of athletes at Florida State. It's been about the condition of play, the stupidity, the sloppiness, the penalties, the lack of execution, all of these things that have plagued Florida State have all of a sudden started to get cleaned up a little bit. And lo and behold, they're playing much better football. And you can make an argument they're playing cleaner football and have more confidence than Clemson has right now. And I think that's the one thing about this entire Clemson dynamic this season is we can talk about a lack of execution. We can talk about, you know, ineffectiveness in the offensive line and at quarterback and the defense is on the field, you know, for too long. I think the biggest issue that Clemson has, and it's one they haven't had in 13 years, is they lack confidence right now. They're looking for answers, and they have a football team and a coaching staff that hasn't had to deal with much of this, if at all. So it's uncharted waters. And when you lack confidence and when you're unsure, your execution and your level of play is going to wane and it's going to decrease. And that's what Clemson, in my opinion, is fighting as much as anything.
All right, Tom, I want to dive back into that because I think they're more than just Clemson that's dealing with a situation like that. Virginia Tech, Carolina, Some of these other teams are dealing with confidence issues in some respect, it looks like, too. Maybe not offensively, maybe just in other spots on their team.
Yeah, you're right. And listen, it's when you start to have that, you know, we've all been a part of good teams, bad teams, good programs, bad programs. And when things aren't going well, that's when I think the coaching staff, you start to turn into a psychologist a little bit. You start to turn into an individual that starts really leaning, and you should start really leaning on your support staff. Get down in that training room. You know, start asking the trainers, hey, we got your locker room lawyers going on around here. What do we have? What's the tenor of the football team? And get into the equipment staff. Hey, how are guys treating you when they come and they need something? What's the scuttlebutt around the locker room? Then you get in the strength and conditioning staff. You start figuring out, you know, maybe kind of the pulse of the workouts to try to gauge, number one, what's wrong? Is it fixable? Is it a player issue? Is it a personality issue? Is it a confidence issue? And then you try to manage it and try to come up with solutions. And it's not easy. I think every head coach and every coordinator and every assistant coach in America, when you're lacking confidence, or let's just say you haven't lived up to billing or expectations from a preseason prognostication standpoint, it can really weigh on you. And I think it's still, at the end of the day, we got to remember we're dealing with young people. We're dealing with 18 to 22 year old kids that are high in emotion, and they're full of peaks and valleys. And when things aren't going good, you better find out who your leaders are, and you better get the pulse of your football team from all of the other support structures that are around you.
Tom, North Carolina goes on the road this weekend to South Bend to take on Notre Dame. I hate the number one injury stink. I mean, just these guys work too hard. It happens, and it's part of the gig. But to know that Kyle Hamilton's not going to play in this game is great news for North Carolina. But, man, I just wanted to see the cat-and-mouse game between Sam Howell, Kyle Hamilton. These are pros getting after it. And Josh Downs over there on the perimeter. It would have been a phenomenal situation to put your feet up and watch, really as good as it gets in college football.
No doubt. And for two things, I think number one, for Kyle Hamilton, it would have been a great opportunity from a back end standpoint in the passing game to really find out just how good he could be in coverage. If he got locked up, if he got into a mismatch situation, how does he hold up? Because you know that North Carolina, obviously, they're going to do what they're going to do. And now Kyle Hamilton's not in the game, and they're looking at the middle of the field, and they're saying, okay, maybe we've got opportunities that we would not have had otherwise if a Hamilton's in the lineup. So, again, everybody has injuries. Everybody's dealing with them. We're in the back half of the season right now. Depth is becoming something more important than it ever has been in the first, you know, 6 to 7 weeks of the season. But I agree with you. Offensively, if you know there's a special player that's not playing, you're going to have a plan to attack that replacement, and you're going to have to see it early.
Sunday's a big day for you. How are you handling it?
I don't know, man. My travel coming back from this week's game has me very, very concerned. I'm not going to get the full slate of the afternoon and the evening of the most cherished holiday on the planet, possibly the universe. And so I'm going to have to manage my emotions, you know, just like you got to do at quarterback. You're going to have peaks and valleys. I got peaks and valleys this weekend. I got Oklahoma and Texas Tech. We got a fired coach at Texas Tech. We got an Oklahoma team that can't quite figure out what in the heck is going on week to week. I can't get home until Sunday evening. I mean, these are some serious first world problems I'm dealing with here.
By the way, I know you've got Oklahoma. Their fans called yesterday whining and complaining. I'm like, hey, you're 8-0 for the first time since 2004. Get in the real world a second. I mean, I could think of, I don't know, 125 teams in America that would absolutely love to be 8-0. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
The sky is not falling in Norman, at least not yet. And listen, it hasn't been pretty, but it's not always going to be pretty, you know. Right. And a win is a win is a win. Cherish every one of them. I can just tell you that right now.
Amen.
Oh, timer on the light went out. We got to go.
I know. My big screen just went out. I was watching tape, and it went black because I had it on pause for too long. Waiting on you two clowns to call me up and renegotiate our contract so we can get them back together on Wednesday.
I'm glad we found the money.
Like the lid, by the way.
Yeah, lid looks good. The lid looks good. Way to go.
ACC football lid. If you like that, it's kind of tight. You know, I like it. I feel good about it. I'm about to go exercise in it right now. It'll make me super fast when I run.
There you go. That's it.
Extra powers.
Tom Luganville, everybody. Thank you, Lugs. Be well, my man.
See y'all. All right. You guys too.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Akron Durham.
Big fella.
Pre-power hour.
Yeah.
Pretty good, though, right? Scott Satterfield, Tom Luganville.
Yeah.
And more accounting.
Yep.
Fan accounting.
We got quite a list here. Folks have really rallied to your call, Pack, submitting.
Sweet 16 is way to go. Like I said, you can go the Wes Durham style, scoop of vanilla in a cup, or you can come up with something creative.
Yeah.
Go
Terry went 14. He's got a little...
He went middle of the road.
Constitution about him. Let's go to Terry Martin. We'll start with Terry, who starts with Pitt, Wake Forest, Virginia, NC State, Louisville, Clemson, Syracuse. Then he goes Florida State, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Miami, Boston College, Virginia Tech, and Duke.
Only issue I have there is Florida State beat Syracuse recently. Yeah. That'd be my only problem with that.
A little paperwork deal on the Terry's deal.
Kind of in the same neighborhood, though, as everybody
sure,
this week.
Sure, why not? Yeah. Adam Bell next. Pickett's Colwin, number one.
I like that. Creative.
The Swiss is 2. Pitt is 3. Wolfpack 4. Virginia, Louisville, North Carolina, Miami. And then we go Clemson, Florida State. Clemson, 9. Florida State, 10. Syracuse, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Duke. Exit Sandman is 16.
Oh, see what he did there?
Yeah, I do.
3 straight losses at home?
Yeah.
North Carolina at the 7 spot seems a little high.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's okay.
Naz Trav, a rabbit named Pack is number 1.
That's it, baby. T-minus 2 days. It's go time. 10 a.m. sharp.
Friday
in the rain and the wind of blustery conditions. The ACC Cross Country Championships.
Ketchup and sauce is 2. That's Pitt, I'm guessing. Swiss is 3. Wolfie, 4. UVA wine and cheese is 5.
Hey.
My Clemson is 6.
Let's see.
7 is Florida State. Team of Mystery is 8. Tarred Heel is 9. BC, Georgia Tech, Miami, Syracuse, 13. Turkey Legs, 14. Duke, 15. 16 is candy corner toothbrushes for Halloween.
Excellent pick on 16. Totally agree on both.
Candy corn?
Not a big fan.
Toothbrushes.
Needed once a day.
Yeah. All right. Wayne Greiser next. Wayne M. Greiser the second pack. Wake Forest 1, Pitt 2, Virginia 3, NC State.
Is that the first time we've seen Wake Forest written?
I think so.
At least
on submitted by the fans.
That's what I'm talking about.
Most of it's been the
everybody's
Swiss.
Everybody's jumped on the Swiss bandwagon.
We're going to have to explain that again. NC State 4, Louisville 5, Clemson 6, Florida State 7, Syracuse 8, Miami, BC, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Duke. 15 is Cold Pizza. That's a story from yesterday's show.
People like that
and
story.
And so is Jose's Bomb in Charlotte.
All that is true.
It's 16.
15 and 16 are all true.
Roger Smith is next. My dad went to high school with Roger Smith and his brother Wade.
Look who's number one.
The Atlanta Braves.
Up 1-0 on the Houston Astros last night.
Pitt, Swiss, NC State, Virginia. Trevor Lawrence's first win is 6A. 6B is Clemson without the O.
No O.
Louisville 7, Syracuse, Florida State, Boston College, North Carolina, Miami, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Duke. 16 is Dodgers payroll.
Dodgers payroll has been number one for a long, long time. And they still haven't won a World Series championship in a full season since 1988. Streak continues.
T-Law's first win.
That's good.
6A.
Creative.
A week late, but good. I like it.
Creative. I like it.
Once again, you can always submit accounting. Tag the ACC Network on Twitter. You're welcome to tag Mark and I as well. You can use the hashtag accounting. That's capital ACC in accounting, by the way.
I thought for folks that tried the process, It is difficult.
Yeah, it is.
But I thought at the end of the day, looking at all those fan accountings, mm-hmm. that everybody's kind of in the same boat. I mean, with an exception here or there, mm-hmm. everybody for the most part is in the neighborhood mm-hmm. of what we unveiled on Tuesday.
That's right.
So we'll see where it goes. This, there will be more movement this week.
Oh,
there's just games. Oh, the way these Clemson, games line
Florida
up.
State, BC, Syracuse.
Right, and if there's a hiccup at the
Louisville,
top.
Louisville, NC State?
If there's hiccups at the top, Wake Forest, Pitt, NC State is really who I'm talking about. You've got to be able to hold serve.
Right.
It's go time for those three, right? Mm-hmm. Pitt's in total control of the Coastal. Ball's in their court. Miami's coming to their house. Wake's got everything perfecto. Ball's in your court. NC State's coming after you. You get to see the Wolfpack in November.
Right.
It's go time. There's still some outside shots for the Virginias, Miamis, Clemsons of the world, but they got to win out and really get a lot of breaks to get back in the conversation.
More on those games coming up with best games in series history. Another fun feature we've fallen into this fall with football. Yep. Folks, a friendly reminder to you that the fall seasons are coming to a close in the ACC, and we're getting ready to stage our first championships.
That's right. Friday.
Including Friday.
Friday morning.
South Bend, Indiana, 10 a.m. The cross-country championships will take place. The ladies run first. The men will run second.
11 a.m.
And then on Sunday.
And by the way, that's 10 a.m. sharp. You know why I know that? Because the race doesn't start until I say go. That's how the rabbit works. Chariot of Champions. Everybody waits until the Chariot of Champions.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.